Did you know that the Boston Celtics have won more games than any other professional team in their league? Boston's known pretty well for its pro basketball, but a new book makes the case that we should be much better known for college basketball in the 1980s, because that's when three future Hall of Fame coaches changed college basketball into a faster, scrappier, athletic game. All three did it in Boston, and they changed the way the game is played all the way up to the NBA. Clayton Truter wrote Boston Ball, and I started by asking him to tell us more about these coaches, Rick Pitino, Jim Calhoun, and Gary Williams.
Well, these are all young coaches trying to get their career set up in the early 1980s in Boston. Calhoun's coaching at Northeastern University. Rick Pitino's coaching at BU, just down the street from you. And Gary Williams is coaching at Boston College. And I became aware of this when I was a graduate student at Boston College. You had three programs in Boston that all had coaches who ended up in the Basketball Hall of Fame who had all coached there roughly the same time. And at some point, I got copies of the autobiographies of all three coaches and realized that they hadn't talked much about it either. Calhoun spends like a chapter and a half on his 14 years at Northeastern. Pitino spent like five pages on his 5 years at BU. And Gary Williams spent like four pages on his 4 years at BC. So it struck me as something that required further investigation. And
so first of the three coaches, thanks, guys, A, but B. So what was fascinating as I started to read your book was, you know, of course, I don't think any of us are conditioned to think of Boston as sort of a driving force behind a revolution in college basketball. But you really focus on, you credit them with bringing what you call the city game to Boston. We might also refer to that as street ball. And just briefly tell us what that means, because this was a big change in college basketball.
Very much so. It's something that was old that became new again when they did it. The city game is a term that a guy named Pete Axthelm, a well-known basketball writer, coined to describe the style of basketball that emerged in the Northeast beginning in the 1940s. Pressure defense, aggressive offensive play, up-tempo basketball. Schools like Holy Cross had played with it in the 1950s. Even the early Boston Celtics played in this style under Red Auerbach. It kind of went out of fashion over time, though. College basketball by the 1970s was very much dominated by centers, by big men, 7-foot-tall guys in the middle who slowed the pace of play and became the focus of an offense. People like Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Bill Walton, BU, BC, and Northeastern were not in a place to be able to recruit those players. So the coaches there, as a matter of necessity, found a different style of playing. And all three coaches adopted this very up-tempo style. I use the term Boston ball to describe it. That term comes out of a Michael Madden column in the Boston Globe from the early 80s. I call Boston ball an origin story for modern college basketball, both stylistically with this more up-tempo style of play, as well as Clayton, with having three coaches who go on to be major figures.
Yeah, let me jump in there, and just because as I was trying to understand it even better, even, you know, reading the book, this is, you know, people moving fast on the court. The ball goes fast. You're not holding it for a really long time. People don't have to be as big. They're improvising a lot. This is about speed and athleticism, basically, correct?
Yes. And I would say also a certain kind of on-court guile as well. I mean, if it's all very much focused on simply getting it to the big guy in the middle, strategically, it's a less rich game.
Yeah, you don't have to be strategic and smart about it while you're playing. One of the things that I found fascinating in the book, and again, we're speaking with Clayton Truter, author of Boston Ball, who talks about the time when three Hall of Fame coaches early in their career were actually here coaching three college basketball teams in Boston. There were pickup games between college players and the Boston Celtics, which is kind of inconceivable today. And we'll talk about the today version in a minute. But Clayton, that's amazing that used to happen.
Oh, yeah. It regularly happened at Boston College in their old gymnasium. You'd have BC players, sometimes guys from BU, sometimes guys from Northeastern, who would scrimmage against the likes of Robert Parrish and Danny Ainge and Dennis Johnson, sometimes Larry Bird, Bill Walton, Cedric Maxwell. A couple of the guys told me we weren't intimidated going in and playing against Villanova and Syracuse and St. John's and stuff. We were playing the Boston Celtics back in September and October as we got prepared for the season, as well as some of the top players from BU and Northeastern as well.
So we actually spoke a few months ago with a high school player, Brockton-born AJ DiBonsa. He's been preparing for life in the NBA, you know, widely considered an NBA likely. And he's been playing with people like LeBron James. And here's AJ's father and AJ telling us about an early morning workout they had this summer with Golden State Warriors guard Chris Paul.
We get there by, what, 5:35? CP3 was there.
He's already there. I knew you were going to say that. He's already there.
He will also AJ, see? You know, these are lessons.
I mean, the goal is the NBA, so all my hair is on the NBA, so if I get the chance to work out with them, that's just better than myself.
But he had to go to L.A. to do that, and there's all this formality around it. You know, the idea that college players had that kind of access to pro players, you would think it would change the pro game to some extent too, Clayton.
Very much so, and these are players who ending up in the NBA. I mean, if you look at a lot of the guys in the BC team of this time period, Michael Adams, John Bagley, Jay Murphy, they're guys who go and have NBA careers a little bit later, Dana Barros. One sees also with some of the rule changes during the 1980s, whether it's in college adopting the shot clock, the adoption of the three-pointer in both college and the professional game, you see these guys who are part of this evolution in college basketball shaping of the way the pro game ends up as well.
So why don't we know Boston as a place that transformed basketball?
I think it's because it's in essence a pro sports town, despite its reputation as America's college town. A more conventional college town like, say, Ann Arbor, Michigan, or Madison, Wisconsin, their universities are the focus of sports in town in a way that just doesn't exist in a place like Boston with so many different colleges and also being a larger city than those kind of places.
Yeah, you know, an interesting way to underscore that. So Rick Pitino, who you said gave 5 whole pages, right, to his time in Boston, he goes on to coach professionally for a couple of teams, including the Knicks. He actually coached for the Celtics for a little while. That didn't go very well. He's actually most remembered for his epic rant that he made to media members after an especially tough loss back in 2000. I want to play a little of what he said.
Larry Bird's not walking through that door, fans. Kevin McHale's not walking through that door, and Robert Parrish is not walking through that door. And as soon as they realize that those 3 guys are not coming through that door, the better this town will be for all of us.
And that really underscores everybody's still looking for former pro players, even though there's this whole college scene there. So does that ever change, Clayton? Or is this just a piece of our history and, good to know about, wish we knew more?
I think it's even more exaggerated now because he says that before Boston becomes the city of champions and is winning championships in all 4 of the major sports, the 90s were really a period of struggle for pro sports in Boston, generally speaking. So it was definitely the case then. I think it's even more the case now.
Clayton Truter talked to us about his book, Boston Ball, last week.